open the public hearing for ordinance 1-2020. This is the ordinance for the earmarked railroad money. Obviously, if we don't use it, we'll lose it. If anybody wants to speak for or against it, you can come up now.
Without anybody coming up, I will close the public hearing.
And we will call the order of council meeting for February 24th, if everyone would stand for the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and the future as well. Amen.
Can we have roll call?
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Lau.
Here.
Mr. McNeese.
Here.
Mr. Ravelet.
Here.
Mr. Gornau.
Present.
Mr. Grove.
Here.
Mr. Stengel.
Here.
Mayor Yoakum.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
You should have received a revised agenda on that. If you look on it, it'll be a zoning issue that needed to get done tonight. With that being said, I make a motion to approve the revised agenda.
Second.
Got a motion by President Salters, second by Vice President Grove to approve the agenda that is before you now.
Question?
Mr. McNeese.
Yes.
Mr. Ravelet.
Yes.
Mr. Stengel.
Yes.
Mr. Lau.
Yes.
Mr. Gornau.
Yes.
Mr. Grove.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
And the agenda is adopted by a vote of 7-0. Need approval of the February 10th minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the February 10th meeting.
Second.
Got a motion by President Salters, second by Vice President Grove to approve the minutes as presented.
Question?
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Grove.
Yes.
Mr. Lau.
Yes.
Mr. Gornau.
Yes.
Mr. Ravelet.
Yes.
Mr. Stengel.
Yes.
Mr. McNeese.
Yes.
And those minutes are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. And then I'll go to committee chair reports.
I'll give a slight committee report. Basically, we met, the RDC did. It's not a committee, but I am appointed to that board, so we're going to talk about it real quick. One of the things that we did do some quiet title work for the blighted properties to Advantex Development Corporation. That's some of the work you're seeing around town of the buildings. John Sprague gave us updates on Main Street Phase 2 and 3. One of the interesting things that we also talked about was the possibility of a residential TIF zone. We had Paul Waters here. He's the Gibson County Development Corporation president. And he talked a lot about what they're going through. It's relatively new in the state. I know that Mary Yoakum and the RDC, we have looked at it over time along with Tim Smith, our president. I think you're going to hear more and more about this as we go forward. Essentially, it's a TIF zone for residential neighborhoods. It requires a couple builders and some land. So, but I'm making that sound really simple. It's not that simple, but I promise. One of the other things that we did, the board voted 4-1 to approve some money to go to the Pantheon Theater. We'll talk more in depth about that tomorrow at our budget meeting. And then one of the other things, if you hear about wetland mitigation, one of those things that we had to do on the Main Street project, there were some wetlands that needed to be mitigated, and John Sprague is running that program for us. Those wetlands are in Bruceville, and that are being redone out there. So know that the RDC is working on that too. That's all I got from the RDC.
And I'd also like to add that I attended both Pantheon boards, met this last week. That information is going to be available tomorrow at that meeting, special meeting.
Just to kind of give basically what to expect tomorrow. I would describe it like as a mini budget hearing where our guests will sit in front of us and we'll kind of talk. Obviously, the reason that we called this is there's some confusion. There's been some rumors. So we're gonna just kind of lay out everything that we have. We're gonna kind of talk through things, see where we're at, see if we can't clear up anything, get some answers. I'm not expecting to solve all the problems or get all the answers, but, you know, we might get some answers. We might have some different answers that we need to ask. But I think it's time that we, as a group, look at this, kind of see where our priorities are at, and as we move forward on this and try to kind of bring some clarity, because I know that there's some confusion among some of us, and a lot of that's just there's a lot of information out there. Also, the transparency resolution that we passed at the end of last year, Kathy and I worked on that and got that put together. There are some that are available to pick up for the public if they want it in the clerk treasurer's office. It's also kind of a saved file. I think it takes now, after we got the kinks worked out, what we wanted to put out, what was it now? It'll take just a minute or two for you to be able to pull it up.
Yes.
And she's got copies of it right there today, too, and I think it's in your packet as well. So that's taken care of for the year. There wasn't a set time, so while I was thinking about it, I just wanted to make sure that that was done. And that's what I have for my report.
I do have a quick report. We did have an opportunity to meet as Parks and Public Spaces, and as we got together in that committee, we had an opportunity to hear from Steve Beeman, some of the things that he was doing and what the city's currently doing in the city parks, and the struggles that they're having and the good things that they're doing, and kind of worked out some things that we can kind of try to help with and things like that. So as a first meeting goes, I thought it went pretty well. No major decisions made or anything like that. Just wanted to let you know that we were talking about the city's parks and public spaces, and really just getting together to figure out what we can do to better help the park system out, to be able to include our youth and young people and really get them excited and get people out to use the parks more often.
Okay, anything else? If not, report to city officers. Being none, we will move to public comment. Comment. We move to old business. First up is ordinance 1-2020, additional appropriation ordinance, amount of $326,558 out of edit fund 444 into the regular mark money fund. Your first reading was February 10th.
Make a motion to read ordinance 1-2020, and just also a reminder that we did have a public hearing on this and nobody spoke for or against.
Second.
Got a motion by President Salter, second by Vice President Grove, to have second reading of ordinance 1-2020.
Ordinance 1-2020, additional appropriation ordinance, sections 1 and 2, $326,558 to edit from railroad earmarked money.
Discussion. Again, this is just, we have to front the money to spend the money, and then we'll get reimbursed as the work's completed.
Question.
Mr. Gornow?
Yes.
Mr. Grove?
Yes.
Mr. Lau?
Yes.
Mr. McNeese?
Yes.
Mr. Ravalet?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Stengel?
Yes.
Second reading passes by a vote of 7-0.
Make a motion to have third reading on ordinance 1-2020.
Second.
Got a motion by President Salter, second by Vice President Grove, to have third and final reading of ordinance 1-2020.
Ordinance 1-2020, additional appropriation ordinance, section 1 and 2, $326,558.
Discussion.
Question.
Mr. Stengel?
Yes.
Mr. McNeese?
Yes.
Mr. Lau?
Yes.
Mr. Grove?
Yes.
Mr. Gornow?
Yes.
Mr. Ravalet?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And third and final reading passes by a vote of 7-0. We'll move to new business. First up is ordinance 2-2020, amendment of the Knox County Zoning Ordinance, vacant lot on Barnett Street. Tanner Bushy.
Make a motion to read ordinance 2-2020.
Second.
Don't we do it first and then we refer it?
I think it's read and refer to, didn't it?
You approve it on.
We approve it on the first, and then we send it to area plan, correct?
Approve on the first, refer to area plan.
On the first motion, refer to area plan.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's usually approve and refer.
Okay. Make a motion to approve and refer. ordinance 2-2020 to area plan.
Third, second.
Got a motion by President Salter, second by Vice President Grove to approve, read, approve ordinance 2-2020 on first reading and refer to area plan.
Ordinance 2-2020, ordinance amending the zoning code, changing a parcel of land from I-1 to R-2. It's described as Lot 7, Vincennes Common Lands. The ordinance doesn't have section numbers, but the legal description follows.
Discussion?
Was there to be some kind of a map accompanying this?
I haven't seen this till just this moment, so.
Tanner's coming to that.
Normally, there would be a plat, so what the zoning is and who the neighbors are and stuff.
I can supplement the proposed ordinance with a parcel map. Basically, this is a vacant parcel between 11th and 12th Street and Barnett and Nicholas Street. It's undeveloped currently. It's zoned for I-1. Asking for it to change to R-2. Certainly, I can supplement with a parcel map.
That where the aluminum building is, the used to be a body shop there?
Right, but, you know, that's a separate parcel, so then there's a vacant parcel next to it.
Okay. Got the fence around it?
Right, right. Currently zoned for industrial.
Yeah, what is going on there?
It'll be basically a development of duplexes, essentially.
How big of a parcel is it?
Duplexes.
Looks to be about 3.5 acres.
And duplexes, as in plural? Multiple?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, very good.
Are you going to have more information when we come back for the second, third?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, area plan's going to want to see more information on that.
Yeah, area plan will just come back.
Yeah, they'll come back with their.
Non-favorable recommendation after they look at it.
On the area plan?
Council. That'll be fine. All right, anybody else?
Anybody else? Questions or anything?
Question?
Mr. Ravelet?
Yes.
Mr. McNeese?
Yes.
Mr. Lau?
Yes.
Mr. Grove?
Yes.
Mr. Stangle?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Gornau?
Yes.
And first reading passes by a vote of 7-0, and this will be referred to the area plan. Next is landscape ordinance 8-2018. Mr. Cordes.
I invited Mr. Cordes here to talk about the landscape ordinance. He reached out to me and had some issues with it. He'd like to discuss it with the council so we can kind of look into this.
Well, I like Dennis's name with a Cordes at the end. That's an interesting
Cordes,
approach.
A German name.
Yeah.
For roses and
cabbages. Interesting approach, but welcome, Dennis.
I have been a member of the tree board for quite some time, and I think I come to you because I'm the only one that answers my cell phone. I get a lot of input from the city and people about a variety of different trees, and the new landscape ordinance is what I'm here to talk to you particularly about tonight. I've had several people contact me that as it's been written, has become an impedance to new business coming into town. I'm not sure where the original numbers of trees versus parking spaces and all came from. I would probably, if I had to hazard a guess, some larger urban area, you know, a Carmel or a Bloomington, while well-intended, and I certainly love trees. Anybody who knows me knows I love to plant trees, and I love and understand and respect the value they bring to a community. However, I also understand the value that new business brings to a community in jobs and more opportunity for our youth to stay here. I know I say this about every time I have something like this. I want to try and create a community where the jobs and the aesthetics and things make people proud to live here and want to come here and start a business. I would respectfully say that the way the ordinance is written, it's tough. If I was going to come and build a restaurant and you told me I had to put $80,000 or $90,000 worth of trees and shrubs in, you got to do this. This is a requirement. I would have to take that into my equation, and that would be a factor in deciding whether or not I was going to develop or come here. I would request, and I made one rough copy of some changes. I think, you know, Mr. Sprague and the new city inspector, I think if we all got together, we could write this where people would actually want to plant the trees and go along the recommendations versus requirements. Right now, I've scratched it out where it's, instead of having requirements, they're recommendations. The city inspector and the landscape review board would still be able to look at it and go, hey, no, we'd like you to do this, this, and this. Now, I realize if you've got it completely and there are no requirements to it, you really wouldn't have a leg to stand on. The other option would be to cut the total number of plantings in half and then leave the verbiage in where it was required to that larger amount as recommendations. Most of these big companies have a very nice landscape plan they come with, and we're trying to have them reshape that. So not only do they have to meet these requirements, they have to redo plans and things. So that all comes at a cost, as you all know, with architects and engineers. So I did not make five different proposals of this. I really wanted to come to you right tonight to say that we absolutely need to take a look at it. Myself personally, I think we need to cut the total number of plantings in half, make the second half a recommendation, and rewrite the ordinance to not only protect us when new business comes in so they don't just have a barren landscape, so there's still some there, there's some teeth to it, but not make it so draconian that people don't want to come here and build a building. So.
Dennis, who currently has to, does the city inspector or the city engineer, do they go and make sure that those landscapes?
The city inspector should get a landscape proposal, and then that landscape proposal then goes to the landscape review board.
Okay.
And then after they put it in, that would be part of the inspection process from the city inspector, that they followed that.
And I've got the city engineer here because mm-hmm. he has a comparison of a Texas Roadhouse that is going here compared to Carmel?
Yes, this is a Texas Roadhouse plan. It was out of the city of Carmel, and their tree requirement is based per acre and not necessarily per parking spot. Their island, one of the things I think it kind of dovetails is what he was saying is, if we look at it a little differently than per parking space, like I've designed two projects now. As Spray Engineering, I've designed two projects in Vincennes in accordance with the city ordinance. And when the numbers come back to my clients, they're shocked and blown away at how much it costs to meet this requirement. And one of my clients also, he doesn't have enough room on his space. Like you can't physically fit. Like we have a square footage of islands required in the parking areas. You can't physically fit the number of plants and shrubs in those islands. It would just be solid shrubs and they would all die. So for one of the examples on this plan is parking islands is one tree and four shrubs per island. And that is a much more doable situation for those islands. Just put one tree in the middle, a couple shrubs on both sides, they're all gonna flourish, there's enough spacing for that. The shrubs, they have 25 shrubs per acre, which on this lot was a half an acre, and it required 11 shrubs. One of the clients I'm working with is 2 acres, so it would require 50 shrubs, where currently they have to have 200. It's just physically not possible.
So, John,
I
guess
that's just the shrubs, not including the trees.
Who wrote this, the ordinance that we're currently under? When did it go into effect? And I guess what was the thought process behind an ordinance that required 200 shrubs?
It was brought up maybe a year and a half.
2018.
Yeah, when I was like end of 2018.
And I spoke against it from the very beginning on several stances. I mean, anytime you force someone to put landscaping in, was my first thought, is it doesn't get maintained and then it looks bad eventually. And then when we were just putting the parking lot in and we couldn't even abide by our own ordinance, it looked bad. And I mean, we had to retrofit, I mean, an older building, my building. I mean, we wanted to do things, and when we looked at it, we just didn't do them because we couldn't put any trees in. It just, our building wasn't designed for that. So it was, I mean, it was a hard no for us when that came up, just for that. I mean, the government, you know, overreach.
Well, and those were, like, the problems that you're talking about, those were the ones that we were worried about. And obviously, you know, we're just talking about shrubs with that spot, and that's huge, not alone trees. So, I mean, obviously, there's something that we've got to figure out here. That doesn't mean...
You can appeal it all.
Right.
And the good thing is, this Texas Roadhouse has done that, right? And you've approved a plan for them that's not near as restrictive as...
Right, right.
They've already...
I do like that.
Why have an ordinance that scares people away, that you're going to have an appeals process and modify that drastically?
Exactly, and who gets the appeal?
Why have the scary part of it there?
I mean, just because Texas Roadhouse is a multimillion dollar, do they get the appeal over a smaller business that can't even afford to have an, you know, representation?
So Dennis, you're going to present, you're going to bring to us, and I guess we're going to throw it to a committee for a little while. That would be my recommendation, that would essentially cut those in half, the requirements, but still have some requirements in there, so we just don't have barren parking lots.
I mean, this might sound, and you can tell me if this is kind of outside the box or not, but we've got like a landscape, I guess, expert right here on the council with us, and Ryan Lau. Would it be too outside the box to ask him to meet with the city engineer or inspector and just kind of butt heads?
That isn't necessarily a public space committee, but what, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the expertise in the area.
Sure.
I think, again, it was well intended. It just, in practical application, it just falls on its face. I mean, it just is too much.
Yeah.
And he's chair of public spaces and parks anyway, so perfect fit.
Sure. I think that's a good idea.
Well-versed in it. I think we could all come up with a solution that makes everybody happy.
John, does it take into effect the water runoff on some of these? Is that why some of those areas are put in? Is that it?
No, that has everything to do with...
It doesn't even have anything on this one?
It's all based on parking spaces, number of trees per parking space, or islands per parking space.
How crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so if you're...
I'd like to ask a couple of questions, if I could.
Yeah.
Real quick. So this ordinance passed in it was 2018. So since 2018 to today, how many plans have come before the LRC?
Two.
Two. Which ones?
Williams Brothers and Texas Roadhouse.
Okay, so what happened to...
Cantwell, sorry.
And Cantwell Street. Okay, terrific.
It just hasn't made it does yet.
So we had Hobby Lobby, right? Hobby Lobby just went out, and just as a reference, you know, if we were looking at that, you know, in miscellaneous, they have 211 parking spaces. That would require them to have 13 islands. They currently have one. And so I don't know, you know, there's a person that... somebody slipped somewhere in there. I don't know if they've paid their permit fees or whatever, but obviously this is, you know, this may be the first or second time, or maybe even more than that's come to town now that hasn't gotten that approval through there. So I'm wondering where we're failing there, because if we're not even looking at, you know, as we look at that, it's got to go through the city inspector. So if they're not going through the city inspector and pulling a permit, maybe we have a bigger problem here than just the ordinance.
Ryan, I'd agree with that a little bit too. So when, like, a Hobby Lobby comes in, what do they do, John? What's the first thing they do? They come and present you with a site plan, or do they present it to the utility service board?
My perspective on most of this is from my Sprague engineering side of things, not the city engineer. The city engineer doesn't have a whole lot to do with the landscaping at all. But I've two of those three clients were mine. And what I have in my contract is I generate a landscape plan sheet. And that lays out, it highlights the islands, it lists out, much like this sheet does, it lists the requirements and then how much I provide on the site plan. And then I take that and work with the owner, who works with a landscape designer, and they place shrubs, trees that meet the requirements, and I submit both of those together to the landscape board or to the inspector's office. And then he takes it to the landscape board, and they get it approved.
But they go to the inspector's office, and then they're supposed to go to the landscape board. And I would agree with you. There's probably a disconnect somewhere along the line that we've obviously had more than three businesses since 2018.
I would agree, and, you know, Mr. Cordy's here, is sitting down, and, you know, we've got other businesses going in there. Of course, we know one, Texas Roadhouse, they've submitted something, but we've got other companies coming in there. We've got somebody that's doing a massive renovation over there. And so far, so I think this is a bigger area of concern for me, because if it's, either we're not doing it, it's neglect, or there's a problem within the city inspector's office that I think we need to address. And maybe what we need to do even here is maybe look at that office as an audit and see if we're missing some things in there and seeing if, you know, what we're doing there. Just, you know.
When those permits are filed, I mean, those site plans have to land there.
Right.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident that it won't be overlooked.
Yeah. And the ordinance is only what, a year old?
Hey, we got a new guy, man. It's all right.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to throw anybody under.
Well, and I think a lot.
And neither do I. I want to make sure.
There's a disconnect in that. I mean, if we're going to have rules on the table, if we're going to have ordinances in place, they need to be followed. That's plain and simple.
It was relatively new, so I think word's getting out now that this is the process. It's new to everybody. I mean, these were the first three that you've had. And so, I mean, it's a new process, new ordinance. You said it was late 2018.
Hobby Lobby.
So the word's getting out, and it's...
I mean, Marshall's is being built right now. I mean, has that site plan been approved? And is it Marshall's? Has that site plan been approved? And is it before you at the landscape ordinance?
How about the car wash?
I don't know.
I haven't seen the plan on the car wash. So I just, I think that is an issue. I really think this is an issue.
And it came to my attention, some businesses were planning to, and it came up because of the RDC money I got to plant trees in dip zones.
Sure.
But hey, why aren't they playing by the same rules that I have? Because finding places to plant street trees is a lot harder than you would think. I mean, especially in the dip zones. And it came to my attention through one of the vendors, like, hey, I couldn't plant any trees through here, but now this business planted trees down through over the top of water lines. Now, a lot of that too is, you know, the trees that are approved street trees now are not the trees that go and destroy a bunch of stuff. They're a lot more engineer friendly. I know some of us would not like any trees anywhere near a water line, 2 or 3 miles.
The trees you're referring to weren't planted over utilities, correct?
Right. Yeah, the water line's actually on the other side of the road. So, yes. The complaints for setbacks and things.
Engineers don't like aesthetics. Let's just talk about that. So,
they might have got a bit of trees, too. So, I mean, I understand the whole process. But I think if we all just work together here over the next couple of weeks, then we can come up with something
I would agree.
That's reasonable that we present to you for approval that will satisfy investors, the people trying to lure people here. Pardon me, encourage people to come to our
whatever works.
If we make this a few changes, then make it have a little more sense to people who want to come here and not create a jungle in a parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the goals is if we see an ordinance that's got some issues, is to fix it instead of having people ignore it, because then that becomes problematic, because then why follow other ordinances? So
we have one instance where a business on 6th Street came in and told us they were going to do a bunch of things, and then you would go by and it's nothing but a bunch of big river gravel that washed down and then got on the handicapped access ramps and things. He now has 3 trees in that area. So it's you've got to sometimes kind of force people to do the right thing, and maybe in the past there's not been enough encouragement to follow this, or maybe they didn't even know about it. So we get an education piece along with it that the city inspector can hand out, or JP can hand out, you know, that will educate the people that are wanting to do the projects ahead of time of what they need to do. And I think it'll work out fine.
Okay. And as of now, city inspector, city engineer, and Ryan will sit down and discuss and go through it. Right.
Yeah. Does that work for you, Councilman Lau?
That's fine. Okay. I'd be happy to help.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Next is Grassland Update. This is Ice Jones.
I've invited Lisa to come here to talk to us about the Grassland Update. It's been about a year and a half ago that you came and told us about all the exciting stuff.
Was
Yeah, well, the exciting plans that we had in place for Grassland, so we're getting closer to some big things happening, so.
I've got Girl Scout cookies for y'all, if that helps.
She said in front of me, I don't know.
You can just leave it there for right now.
Pass them, okay, yes, ma'am.
You said you'd like everybody to be kind of.
Yes, yes. Since the last time, obviously, we've had a couple of new members here, so it's not a bad idea to kind of go over some of the things that are happening at Grassland, the improvements that are going to be on the way. You got this.
I thought that box was donuts.
Is it cookies?
Is it a cookie?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to eat it, I'm just going to look at it.
Oh, I'm certainly going to have it. I'm not eating for it.
I got number nine, I went.
Just to kind of look at it.
No, it's a six.
Number's up there.
So just officially, this does not fall under any kind of.
Bribe. Bribe, payment, anyway.
Not a bribe.
Take one and pass it back.
So this is why I'm back.
Cool looking cookie.
Because 2 years ago, the council pledged $100,000 toward the Grassland Restoration Project. And that was an outcropping of a 2016 Living Legacy Plan. And in your packet of information, you got a brochure about Grassland. And then following that brochure, you have our Vision 2020. Our annual dinner's coming up March 13th. Everyone's invited to attend. Our architects that we've hired to do our restoration project are going to talk about the actual specific plans that will take place. We were challenged in our 2016 Living Legacy campaign by the Jeffress Foundation. They were willing to give us $400,000, but we had to raise $800,000. And at the time, there was a lot of fundraising going on. We weren't sure if we could do it. It was busy with the bicentennial. We kind of wanted to shore up operations and enhance programming, and we really wanted to wait a little bit. But the Jeffress Foundation said, you either take this opportunity now or we won't ever come back to you, possibly. So we decided as a foundation that we needed to raise money anyway, so we thought we would try. And so we came to the city 2 years ago about this time, and at that time we had only raised $200,000 from private donations. And we asked the city if they would commit to us because we felt like we could leverage those funds and tell people that our city was investing in our presidential site. And so we've been successful. June of 2019, we raised over $800,000. We actually exceeded our goal, and so now I'm back to collect because our architects have started. They've done their assessment. They've done the mechanical assessment and study. They're doing the final drawings that are due to be completed March 31st. And once those drawings are completed and the Jeffress Foundation approves those, then we're going to proceed with the work that was in the initial plan. So you've got the vision. Right below that Vision 2020, we're hoping next year to say it's the Vision Restored. Following the vision, there's just a human interest thing. There's a man from Australia that has toured all the U.S. presidential sites, and he made two trips in 2017 and 2019. He came to Grassland. We're the only place he came to twice. And so he says he wants to remember everything presidential. Loves American history, loves presidential history, and he said this is how he remembers what he visited, being 10,000 miles away. And so you'll see Grassland on the little clips that I put at the bottom of that first page, and I circled Grassland for your convenience. So we're right there with all these other presidential sites. Michael Fowler's his name, and I look for a lot more to come from him in terms of books and things like that. Behind that's a little article about our past with a purpose. And the copy of the newspaper where the city committed the $100,000, an article about Grassland being the number one Indiana historical site. And then the last page is the definitive presidential site list, and that just came out February 2020. So this stuff is continuing to happen all the time. So we raised the match. The Lilly Foundation gave us $400,000, and a private donation in Bloomington from a gentleman was $200,000. And exactly. So besides getting to restore the mansion, we're really proud of the fact that we're bringing that money into Vincennes. $200,000 from a Bloomington donor and $400,000 from Lilly, another $200,000 from other private donors. The Wabash River Development Association committed $150,000. So that's how we arrived at our total.
Yep.
And so we're ready to go. So we need our money.
Okay. And right, and that was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and
we
said they would give you the $100,000 if you come up with the rest of that match. So.
Yeah, and it was approved unanimously with the group there. We went over stuff for 20, 30 minutes about all the neat little things that are happening at Grassland. And
really nice presentation.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And the thing that you have to remember is, you know, there's not a lot of cities that have a former presidential house in our backyard. And, you know, we're lucky enough that we do have one, so it is our responsibility to take care of those things. Since we already approved it, does she just come to your office?
Cheryl will do the claim and... Yeah, she
just has to write for. Lisa, you said the architect's busy. When does construction and all that kind of stuff? When are you going to start seeing that kind of stuff happen?
Once they approve the drawings at the end of March, then there'll be the bidding process to put some work out for bids.
And I say construction, it's really restoration is what we're doing, right? Pardon? Restoration, not necessarily construction.
Right.
It'll
start immediately.
Okay.
You know, as soon as we can get things going. So we've got some of the money already, so we've got some money to be able to start.
So are you guys going to shut down completely, or are you going to go room by room? I just pretended to be an architect during Grassland Christmas.
That's right.
So I don't have too much expertise here.
Actually, the way the timing is going, we think we're going to be able to get through the school tour season.
Good.
And the beginning of summer. And then we're hoping to do what we call some hard hat tours. For lack of a better term right now, to involve the public in the restoration process. People are really interested in that, and we want them to be interested and embrace the process. It's not every day that you get to see a presidential site preserved.
That's pretty cool.
We're hoping that Vincent's University students take that opportunity. What's so great about Grassland to me is it's not just presidential history, it's the architecture, it's that a family lived there, it's the territorial history, it's all these different components that make up the whole. And so now, not only is this presidential on the fringe of our campus here, now we're going to be doing restoration, and that's a rarity for students to get to be involved in a process like that. I think it's pretty amazing.
How long will the restoration process take?
They think to do all the things that they want to do to, it'll take about a year. That's what all the different architects that bid, they all said a year. Of course, that doesn't allow for time delays and things that they might get into. So we're supposed to be done with it by June of 2021. So it was Grassland, the living legacy for the campaign, a past with a purpose, the vision 2020, and then hopefully the vision restored in 2021.
That is really exciting. That almost excites me as much as a big commercial building going up. I mean, to see something like this.
It was scary when I came the first time to ask the city for the money, because it was a lot of money, and we didn't know if we could do it, but we knew we had to try.
Yeah, right. You've done a great job.
In addition to your restoration, will there be any additions to the actual physical home?
No, because the house as it stands now is historically correct in terms of the way it was when Harrison was there. Some additions that had been put on in the past had been removed previously. So no, it'll just be getting everything back up.
That's fine.
To standard.
That's great.
Is there a list somewhere on your website showing what the different restorations are going to be, or is it listed somewhere? Or?
That's a good idea. We should definitely do that. Have everything on the website. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
We want to involve everybody as much as possible because it's, like I said, it's unique. There's not been a major restoration like this for over 50 years. So it's time, and we hope everybody will be as excited as we are. And we just really appreciate the support.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, next is tourism grant, Vincent's Grapplers King of the Arena.
This one's Brian.
I had the director of the Vincent's Grapplers reach out to me for a grant for $500 to help advertising and sponsorship of their wrestling event that they hold here. It brings in a lot of people. I just wanted to bring that and let you guys know what was going on with that.
We've done this for the last couple of years, if I'm correct.
At least the last 3 years, so it has been something that we've continued to do.
Okay. Which is saying at least 100 or more city guests coming to town for that event, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Next is claims.
Make a motion to pay claims in the amount, let's see if I can get this right, $358,730.10.
Second.
Got a motion by President Salter, second by Vice President Grove, to pay the claims in an amount of $358,730.10.
You guys have any questions on the claims?
Question?
Anything? Nope.
I did.
Okay.
Brian, call the question.
No.
Double question.
Mr. Ravelet?
Yes.
Mr. Bornau?
Yes.
Mr. Grove?
Yes.
Mr. Lau?
Yes.
Mr. McNeese?
Yes.
Mr. Salter?
Yes.
And Mr. Stengel?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the claims will be paid. Miscellaneous.
Just a reminder, we'll be back here tomorrow at 6 to go over everything city and Pantheon related. Kathy will be sending out documents that we have. We kind of went through everything over the past 2.5 years, meeting minutes, you know, ordinances, resolutions, you name it. And there'll be a packet that'll be sent out to you so we can kind of just sit here and kind of go over things. Like I said, kind of see it as kind of a mini budget hearing. We'll be sitting here and kind of talking these things through.
Kathy, can you make sure you print up some extra packets so we could give those out to the media when they're here as well?
Absolutely.
And anybody in the audience?
Okay, I've got one thing on the miscellaneous. The Betty J. McCormick Senior Center is looking to apply for a OCRA grant, being that they aren't a county or city government entity. I've told them that they could apply under the city's name. They will be coming before the council to make the request and have public hearing and stuff. So,
what's it for?
And it's, they're going to add additions to their,
just
their building.
To the building itself.
Okay. But, and the city won't have any money in this at all. It's all their own money for match and everything. It's just that.
But they've got to come through us as a city entity,
right.
Correct?
Right.
Okay.
So that's just for your information.
All right.
Okay. Anything else in the miscellaneous? If not, public comment.
No.
If not, just need a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
We are adjourned.